sharing responsibility of bringing up a child is a mantra that we must all adopt as mothers. Like, it's said that it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
I think films, everything have a way to contribute to that, right? Like, when mothers are all nice and all giving and
yeah.
Like, you know, Ma is all sort of like, Ma is not a human, but she's just there.
A superwoman. Hello, welcome to our podcast, Imperia Connects. I am Divya, and today we are diving into a crucial topic, navigating the double shift. We'll explore the challenges faced by working mothers as they strive to balance their career ambitions with family responsibilities. From managing deadlines and meetings to nurturing relationships and ensuring a nurturing home environment, working mothers embody resilience and resourcefulness in every aspect of their lives. Throughout our conversation today, we'll unpack the layers of this dynamic issue. We'll explore the nuances of workplace dynamics, societal expectations, the role of technology, and the crucial support system. Joining us today is Nisha Nair Gupta, a remarkable individual wearing multiple hats as an architect, journalist, publisher, writer, and a dedicated working mom. Nisha is a driving force behind the People Place Project, an organization she leads with passion and vision. Her achievements extend to being a TEDx speaker and currently pursuing her PhD in urban mobility, showcasing her commitment to making meaningful contributions across diverse fields. Hello, Nisha. Welcome. Glad to have you on our podcast.
Thank you so much, Divya. I'm very honored and very excited to be here.
Can you share some experiences that you face as a working mother?
I would first like to look at the positives. I think being a mother is a wonderful thing to happen in life. In fact, being a parent, if you are somebody looking forward for parenthood, then of course, like, it gets whole set of changes and whole set of learnings that happen along with this new beautiful addition that comes in your family. But at the same time, it's also a lot of work. I'm not sure about the term challenges, but it's about a lot of work, you know, that comes along with it. And there are changes that happen in life, definitely. Like, for example, your body itself, you know, undergoes a lot of changes. You are not what you are before childbirth or before conception, after the child is here. And then also caring for the child. There's so much of care work that is involved in it. Again, it takes a lot of toll in terms of the physical and the emotional and the mental state of both the parents, I would say, but in most of the time, we can safely assume it's women, you know, who take the larger burden and the toll of this whole...
They play a larger role compared to men.
Yeah. I think that the first change that everyone has to adapt to is the bodily change. That you don't look like what you have looked before. So there arise a lot of times a lot of self-esteem issues and a lot of self-doubt that comes along with it. So first of all, you need to be very happy, very body positive about what is going on and, you know, welcome your body in this new avatar that is as a mother. The second toll it takes on is your emotional landscape, especially in the case of working moms, because you have this whole career to balance along with now additional care responsibilities at home. And also, if you're ambitious about your career, which means you're driven, you're goal-oriented, and you want to proceed in a particular trajectory in your life, you have to really do massive amount of planning, massive amount of taking support, organizing yourself to allow yourself to progress towards that. And this is a huge shift in both the way you conduct your life, like in the sense that life is not like what it was before. So everyday life has changed. And there is, of course, a lot of love in this life. But along with that love, there's a lot of planning that is going on. So in this kind of a new world, there is a lot of emotional struggle that happens, because I'm coming from the perspective of me, my experiences, and also some of my friends, you know, whom we talk to each other and we We are very open about talking to each other about these struggles that we face. So a lot of us carry guilt about, like, you know, we feel that we are the all in terms of handling this space. And if we move away from here, maybe things are going to fall apart. Or maybe the child is going to miss you a lot. Or maybe if you are not cooking that meal, but somebody else is cooking that meal, you are doing something incorrect in terms of what and how you're supposed to care for the child. There is this lot of guilt. If, to give you another example, your child is now a school-going kid, you know, and there is some performance. And you have to help your child prepare towards that performance. A, you'll be, if it's like, you know, one of the early years, then you'll be very excited about helping your child prepare towards that. But if you have some work also coming up, it is going to, of course, like, you have to, you know, schedule your time and figure out or plan your time. Yeah. Like, where are you going to put time in? Are you going to help your child or are you going to put that time alternately in your work? And if you're not able to help your child and, you know, somebody else is helping. So I think there's a lot of FOMO over there where, like, oh my God, you know, I am not able to help. Like, is my child going to hold it against me? Am I being a good mother by not doing that work which I am supposed to do? So there's a lot of guilt that comes in and about this, like, right from food to activities. Also, maybe it's sometimes going on a girls' night out, you know? It's very important to take a step out, like, replenish yourself sometimes. But then just that simple act of going out and having a fun day with your friends and not thinking about the home or the child for that day, it's, I think, a huge struggle for a lot of women. At least it was a huge struggle for me when I started doing that. So I think, yeah, there are these changes, I would say, that come in life, which is challenging, of course.
In what ways does this double shift affect the working mother's physical and mental well-being?
The physical well-being, if I were to break the answer in part, definitely there's a lot more work now. In many setups, largely the domestic responsibilities are still handled by women. And even if they are living in a nuclear setup or in a setup where there's a joint family, etc., you will see that lot of domestic labor, if I may call it, are fulfilled by women. With the coming in of the child, it's another
add-on for them.
Yes, right. It's another add-on, you know. The early years of taking care of a child is a lot of physical hard work, you know, right from feeding the baby to putting the baby to sleep to taking care of even their playtime. It's a lot of physical work. You know, in fact, my mom used to say that taking care of a child or a baby full day, and I'm talking about a preschooler or a toddler, something like that, because high on energy, very demanding, is actually equal to manual labor that you do in a construction site in a day. You know, it's that amount of work. So, of course, like, you know, the physical toll it takes is huge. I think additional to that is the mental / emotional well-being, as I would look at it, where you are giving so much of yourself to another human being, or, you know, you're caring so much that you're giving away a lot of what you could, like, you know, you can take care of yourself with that. That being is constantly being transferred to the well-being or the nurturing of another individual. So I think that also takes a huge toll on us, where we feel depleted, we feel, you know, energy-less in the mental or the emotional space as such. And I think along with that, physiologically speaking, there are a lot of hormonal changes in the body, you know. So postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety is real. A lot of us experience it, but awareness is very,
very
low.
Less.
Not just for the mother as such, but even for caregivers to the mother, like, which means the family members, they don't understand that in many cases, like, you know, I can cite myself over here, where we don't understand or respect that the woman is so worked up or so down, because she might be actually going through perhaps a postpartum anxiety or a postpartum depression. So that is something that takes toll on you. Then along with that, simply the anxiety of making sure that the baby is healthy and, you know, up and alive and entertained all along is a lot of mental work, mental labor, as I would call it. So I had read this beautiful quote online once, where even planning for any work is an emotional or a mental exercise. So that is mental labor. And this labor is largely executed by women in the household. Yeah. Mental well-being of the mother in a big way. And I think it also affects the social relationships that the woman as an individual had. So the friends, like, you know, spending time with friends becomes a rarity. Or being able to scoot off in terms of wanting to attend some event or be a part of some kind of a social get-together or something. That is not really a privilege women have for a long time when your child is, you know, smaller, or when you are really expected to be there directly. Other than that, there are these expectations that come in where, like, people expect you to be a mother in a certain way. So that, I think, also affects social relationships.
Those and societal pressures which you have.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, like, they have, like, a mom has a certain role, you know. And even there's a guilt. Imagine if you are a working mom and your child is ill. And, you know, you have to leave them home and go back to work.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that thing about, you know, leaving the child and going to work is such a huge milestone for so many women to crack. Hmm. Like in India and many countries, you get a 6-month maternity leave.
Yeah.
So after the 6th month, like, you know, packing yourself up and picking yourself up and taking yourself back to work becomes a huge milestone. So, and also when you're away at work, you're always mentally occupied with what might be happening back home. Are things going the same way? Is the baby all right? Is it going to affect the baby's health that I'm away from the baby? And, you know, are the caregivers, like, if, so I think grandparents become the best caregivers after the mother, or the mother ends up relying on them a lot more. But if they are hired caregivers, you know, if it's a nanny or a help in that sense, then you're also worried about, are they taking care of the child the way you take care of the child? So that also adds to the guilt that you were talking about, like, you know, going back to work guilt.
So in this, what do you feel? How can we prioritize our self-care? Like, we have a complete miss on this.
Hmm. So, Divya, I have come to realize over a period of time that as mothers, we are so into that role. It takes a lot of self-discipline and self-awareness to make sure we prioritize our self-care. I think this is where our loved ones step in. Like, you know, the loved ones of the mother, the husband, the mother, her in-laws, etc. So they can nudge her towards self-care. Tell her that, you know, it's okay to prioritize yourself and give her the confidence that it's fine to sort of take time out for your own self, because there are perhaps others to manage it. But having said that, I also understand that it's a privilege few women have, that having that kind of a setup where people care for them, etc. Because in many cases, women have to return to work because of the financial situation of the house. You know, and it's also a class-based thing sometimes if you look at it. So a lot of women, like from certain economic, like lower economic setups, have to get back to work because their running of the house depends on their income as well. Probably then what happens in that space, you know, what about self-care? Like, how then, so that is where the community comes in, where the community sort of nudges the women towards self-care.
What do you feel the societal expectations of an ideal motherhood affect the working mothers?
Yes, of course. So I think there is, first of all, there's a gender stereotype here where mothers are expected to be the, like, you know, the all and the primary caregivers, and they are supposed to be more affectionate. So in a way, it's okay if the fathers are not the primary caregivers, but it is definitely expected that mothers are going to be. And there's a lot of judgment that comes along with it about the good mother and, you know, the mother who is not so good because she is not being affectionate enough in terms of caregiving or even displaying
affection
sometimes. Yeah. So I think, this societal pressure first comes in from the gender stereotyping. I think films, everything have a way to contribute to that, right? Like when mothers are all nice and all giving. Like, you know, Ma is all sort of like, Ma is not a human, but she's just there.
A superwoman.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think also the superwoman tag, which is a way more recent one of our generation where the woman can do it all. So she can handle the career, she can also handle the home. So I think these kind of, ideas that come in from society, families, media, etc., definitely become, you know, enter us and become a burden or, you know, a benchmark that we all set to achieve to become an ideal mother.
Mothers.
Other than that, I also think it's about parenting styles today. So there is a lot of evolution in terms of conscious parenting or gentle parenting that a lot of us subscribe to. Because of that, so I'm also somebody who's subscribed to that, okay? There's an additional work, that inner work in a way, that you have to do in terms of how you express yourself as a mother, which is about staying calm, staying positive. And it is not something that I feel that comes very easily. And, you know, it again adds to this whole idea of ideal motherhood.
What do you feel as a role of a mother, the communities, your partner, your family members can help you?
So I think on this note, I think sharing responsibility of bringing up a child is a mantra that we must all adopt as mothers. Like it's said that it takes a village to raise a
child. Yeah.
It does take a village to raise a child. And here, I think one of the most important, especially in modern urban households, like not just urban, but like, you know, the times that we live in now, gender neutrality is very important, which means that the father partakes as much
initiative equal to the mother.
Yes, yeah. As much as the mother. And, you know, which a lot of, lot of men around us are doing. So it definitely eases the responsibilities from the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also is a huge boost to the self-esteem of the household itself, you know, to have where both the genders are participating equally. And I think it's also a great role model for a child to watch and grow up with, to see that it's not just the mother who does the domestic and the care work, but it is also the father who will be participating equally in bringing up the child as well as taking care of the house itself. Also the extended circle, that is the grandparents, the uncles and aunts, and also family friends, they all also step in to take care of the child in different ways.
Also, you have the in-laws, your parents, who help you. But at times it gets difficult, you know, for few of them, they might be suffering through some illness or they are aged.
Right.
Yeah, so that is an add-on, like, responsibility for the parents.
Right. So I think on that note, I feel if you have healthy parents who can take care of your children, it's a blessing. It's a blessing both for you because you can be self-assured in terms of who's giving care to your child. And also the child gets a lot of love from the grandparents.
Yeah.
But in case of ailing parents, I think we also need to be sensitive to not giving them too many responsibilities and figuring out ways around it. So a lot of us hire help and, you know, like hire either full-time or babysitting help to go through this, or else we take, like, you know, we have creches or daycare facilities which we then resort to sort of help us move through childcare.
Nisha, don't you feel when a child is born, a mother is also born? So you don't come with a handbook of rules. Even mothers, they tend to make mistakes because even they are learning with the child.
So true and so well said, Divya. Like actually when a child is born, the mother is born. But you know, I think that there are so many people to give you advice. Yeah. There's like the earlier question that you asked me about ideal motherhood. There's also so much judgment that comes along. I think advices, that's the craziest part where like you're figuring out how, like, you know, you're figuring out your relationship with a child. And I think often people don't understand that every child is different. So, you know, the relationship pans out very differently. But there is this over-showering of advice from all quarters. Yeah. And all the advices have this undertone of judgment within it. So I in fact remember that once my daughter was, I think, 4 or 5 months old, and it was a day that I was at home and with her, and you know, I was completely fried. So in the evening, my husband took us both out to the mall, and I've just pulled her out of the carrier from the car, and the lady watchman who was at the mall, she started, like, you know, giving me this downpour of advices that arey arey aise nahi aise. So at that point it dawned on me that it's not just your relatives, you know, but it is anybody and everybody.
Everybody and around.
Yeah, yeah, they, everybody, maybe they care, but everyone feels very entitled to give you gyan about what must be done and what must be not.
Also, don't you feel like, you know, women nowadays, the moment you become mothers, you have this 6 month of maternity leave. But few of them, you know, I have a lot of friends who say, you know, arey, I'm not meant to do this daily. You know, I'm not just changing diapers. It doesn't hold, like, you know, like you're a bad mother. See, you love your child. But then there are women who are career oriented. Like, you've been working since 10 years, you have a baby in your life, but then you want to go back to work, you have that hunger to build your career.
So I think it's a beautiful thing to have goals for yourself. And if you have the drive and the ambition, it means something very remarkable of yourself as a human being, you know. You're giving back in a particular way. So, and I also relate to the frustration sometimes of being caught up in certain kind of domestic labor. If I may say, which is it is actually frustrating. I don't have any other words for it, and I relate to it because it doesn't make you a bad mother. Like, yeah. I myself don't think I'm a bad mother. I think I'm a great mother. And my love, like, my baby loves me. I love her a lot. We have a great time together. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to do something with my life, wanting to give back to the world with the knowledge I have, with the career goals I have. Like, so I think it's, it is... One must be unapologetic about it. One must embrace this new role in life of having to be a mother and, you know, take the responsibilities in your stride. But I don't think there needs to be any apology about the fact that you want to do something with your life too.
Don't you feel in this, like, a lot of women feel, you know, that their ambitions or their career is getting on hold or delayed?
Yeah, so I think that is a reality. I think that is definitely a sacrifice a lot of women make because of home situation and even their parenting ideas, etc. A lot of women do have to set time aside for the house or prioritize the house versus their career. They do take like...
Because once you become mother, your first priority is always your child.
Hmm.
And then comes your career.
True.
Yeah. So even... Say at a certain age before planning motherhood, you have set a goal for yourself,
right.
You know, that I want to reach here in my career. But post having a baby, you might feel, you know, you might delay because of the other role that you have to play in your life.
So I think over here, like to cope with this, cope that the career doesn't go at stake because of parenthood. This is where support comes in a big way. So either institutionally some support, which is that your employers or you have some facilities like daycare, creches, etc., or familial support, that is at home front. So there is some structure which develops to enable the women to move ahead in life. If this support doesn't exist, it becomes, I think, very impossible to sort of figure out a path to go forward.
I feel you should also encourage your child to help you in the household work.
Yeah, I also think this, you know, the burden of domestic work falling on the women, like taking off from the point that you're making, falls because of the kind of cultural conditioning that is there where, you know, women are, or even girl children, are expected to work at homes, while a lot of boys as
yeah.
children are not expected by their, you know, mothers
yeah.
to work. Like they also grow up seeing mothers working more versus fathers not contributing to domestic labor. I'm simply talking about domestic work. As see, in a lot of situations that is changing. Like people are working together. Both the spouses contribute to running the house, because running a house is a lot of work, right from your groceries to taking care of the house help who's coming in, or to cooking, to, you know, there are these whole battery of things that you need to do so that the house works well. And again, along with that, you know, you have children to take care of.
Yeah.
So I strongly feel that if we have a culture where from, like, or this is sort of my suggestion, you know, that if we have a culture where both boys and girls are encouraged to do household work from early days, you know, like it can be simply chopping vegetables, picking up your dishes, washing them, making your bed, things like that. So you do not feel inferior about domestic work anymore. And you know you need to do this work to sustain life, which is a very important thing. And also it translates to later life in adulthood when marriage happens, you know. And during the course of marriage, the burden doesn't come on the woman to take care of these sustenance roles, you know. And the boys are just sitting there having tea, having a chat, and not really getting up to serve food and wash dishes and things like that. So I think fundamentally, if you are able to... change this at a very childhood level, it can go a really long way.
Well said, Nisha. I completely agree. So, Nisha, my next question to you is about some research which I've done. Okay, so don't you feel that workplaces should be more supportive towards the mothers? Maybe in terms of, you know, flexible work arrangements, childcare support.
To respond to this question, Divya, I would like to give a small example, okay, of an incident that happened long time ago now. My daughter was just, I think, 2.5-3 months when I started working again. And at that point, I was guest lecturing in various architecture colleges in Mumbai. So also at that point, we didn't have, because of certain circumstances, enough help at home too, like in terms of grandparents or, you know, relatives to take care of the child back at home. So I used to take her with me to my workplace. And that is the moment when it struck me that these facilities that we talk about, you know, or the norms, the normative facilities that need to be there, like childcare in institutions
yeah.
or creche facilities, etc., in workplaces, they don't really exist beyond maybe some big MNCs
yeah.
or some corporate spaces, you know. Like, because like the places I was going to, I really relied on the goodwill of the people around me. Mm-hmm. They were more than happy. Like I was in a supportive environment where they were okay to take care of my child when I was doing something else, or my child was okay to be in that environment. But however, there was a complete absence of support, you know, facility in that workplace. So that led me to write a Facebook post lamenting about the need for institutionalized or some sense of formalized childcare support so that women can return to work sooner. To which there were a lot of reactions. A lot of people were, you know, also resonating with me and, you know, saying, like a lot of women largely were resonating with me. But there was also this one gentleman who sort of trolled me, saying that, are you even doing the right thing by taking your child out in that age? Don't you think you should be at home? Yeah, it's, do you think it's healthy to take the child out in that time? So then, of course, like, you know, we replied back, like I replied back to him, my friends joined in. So there was this whole conversation thread that happened. But that led me to think that this is how people assume, you know, women to be. Like once, as soon as they're mothers, they might not return to work. So which is why it's like, you know, public toilets.
Yeah.
So where you do not have too many women's public toilets because they don't expect women to be in public spaces. So you don't expect women to be back to work. So maybe that's why there is no facility as such. But yes, definitely, we must take it up and...
Yeah, there should be because women's or mothers nowadays, we are just not meant to go with kids for play dates.
Right. And you know, on that note... one very interesting thing that came, like I chanced upon during my current research, like I'm researching on domestic women workers at the moment. And so a lot of slums in Mumbai and across have Anganwadi facilities so that women can leave their children and go to work. So, yeah. Like
that's a great initiative, yeah. What are some strategies or tools that a working mother can use in terms of balancing their work and family responsibilities?
So, Divya, I think every child-mother relationship is different. However, something that I would like to tell all my sisters out there, you know, who are mother, like working women like me, would be that no need to strive for any kind of perfection. It doesn't exist. And like, you know, we often tend to drive ourselves up the wall to trying to achieve that. That's not really... so we should like sort of chill. And I think focus more on maintaining an inner balance. Give time for self-care where maybe like exercising, yoga, doing things that you like, pursuing not only your work, but also certain kind of hobbies and passions, like maybe listening to music or going to music concerts, whatever, to keep yourself soulful and happy, you know. We do that also and we try to strive to maintain a balance for ourselves because I think a child learns a lot from that. They take a lot by, in fact, seeing us the way we are. Mm. And on that note, I also think it is important to excuse ourselves from a lot of things maybe other people might be able to, like, you know, going for all the events of the child or, you know, all the performances, all the...
Play dates,
etc.
Functions, yeah,
yes,
everything.
Totally. So it's okay. It's okay to not be part of those...
You might have a miss.
Yes. You might miss a lot of them. Yeah. But it's important that your child also sees that you're working. It's important that you get your child to the work, sees what... As you know their world, they also know your world, you know, because in the long run, I'm sure it will come back to them in a very meaningful way.
For this, we can also seek support, don't you feel?
Yes, definitely. So, of course, like we discussed before, your extended family is there to help you. Other than that, there's also technology nowadays, you know, like a lot of women around us are have helps. Then they also use Like by technology, I meant like CCTV cameras, or, you know, you can have surveillance cameras in your home and you can be at work, but then you can also check what's going on at home. And so that
you
can
always
also help
video
you.
Call.
Yes,
yeah.
You can always video call and your child can see you. You can see your child. Yeah, that always helps.
Thank you, Nisha, for sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you for having me here, Divya. It was a real pleasure and a lot of fun chatting with you.
So we have discussed the challenges faced by working mothers, the importance of time management, and the need for a better support in the workplace. To all our listeners, remember that achieving work-life balance is an ongoing journey. Let's continue to support and empower working mothers in our communities and workplaces. Don't forget to check out Nisha's work at the People Place Project. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, keep striving for that balance in your own double shift. Oh, 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 oh,